Starting at verse 1, that is a fun song, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God, the Bible says, and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and the exposition of it. We also pray that your word would fall on good ground today, God, that it wouldn't be, hallelujah, stony ground. It wouldn't be ground, Lord God, filled with thorns and thistles, God. And you would bind out every fowl of the air that would come and try to steal the word from the hearts of your people. And we pray that your word would fall on fertile hearts, God, that it would produce a harvest in our lives 100-fold, God. We pray we would take the word and run with it, Father God, and live it, Father God. For it's not the hearers of the words only that's blessed, but the doers of the word who are more blessed, Lord. Make us doers of the word, O King. And we promise when it's all said and done to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Saints of God, we have been in the book of Acts, amen, and we're in chapter 6 right now. And if you remember, we taught about Ananias and Sapphira and them being smitten by God and great fear falling on the church. From that fear came purity. From the purity came power. But any time, as we shall see again, this cycle, when the church is operating in power, there's going to be some persecution. And so, hallelujah, the church began to be persecuted, amen, but it didn't work. They arrested the disciples, but it only led to, hallelujah, more revival. It only led to more conversions because God sent an angel and another miracle happened to release them. And so the devil tried a new tactic in chapter 6. He said, well, if I can't, hallelujah, break the church from the outside, I'm going to try to break it from the inside, amen. He says, I'm going to start some trouble between the members, between the body of the church. And that's what we've been studying. And so, hallelujah, we've been going through this lesson. And we had like 4 points in the beginning. The problem, the priority, the solution, and the result. That's where we are, amen. And we talked about the problem, if you remember. And it was simple. In those days, the days of persecution, the days of church growth, there arose a murmuring, a secret debate, a grumbling, a secret grudge. Between who? Well, it was the Grecians. The Grecians began to talk about the Hebrews. Well, Pastor, who were the Grecians? They were the Hebrews, amen, who were mixed with Greek, who lived amongst the Greek, had Greek culture, amen. But they were Hebrews, amen. It was all the same people, but they were a little different in the way they dressed and the way they talked, the way, hallelujah, they were educated. Or maybe, well, some of them were more browner than the others, amen. But these differences, amen, which were only surface differences, led to division. And that division, amen, expressed itself in the neglect of daily ministration. And what that was that the disciples were actually giving food to the poor. But the Hebrews was giving more food to the other Hebrews while they were shortchanging the Grecians. And so a dispute arose, a murmur arose. Instead of them going straight to the apostles, they began to shoo-shoo amongst one another. And that one accord that we saw from the time of the cross, Acts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, is finally broken. And we're here in a place where the church is in danger of being destroyed because a house divided against itself cannot stand. And it was all about food. It was all about something so simple as our little, hallelujah, differences that mean absolutely nothing. We have to be careful, Philadelphia, not to allow our differences to destroy us. We got something good going here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. And it's not no glory on me or my wife. If it's good, it's God. Amen. But we have to learn how to protect what's good. And how do we protect it? We protect it with the unity of the body. No grudges, no grumbling, no shoo-shooing. If we got a problem, amen, we come to the source. We come and talk about it, amen. We ain't got no time for all that shoo-shooing. We got a job to do. We got work to do. We got a mission, amen. We say bye-bye to mess. Bye-bye to gossip. Bye-bye so long, amen, to these secret grudges and debates. We be men and women about our skrilla. We be for realer. You understand what I'm saying? We got a problem, we come and talk about it. You see? And that didn't happen. But the Bible says that the apostles knew. They knew it. They knew what was going on. And so they called everybody together. Because remember we said in the next point that God don't ever do anything without letting his prophets know. They knew the problem, so they addressed it. But we move to the next point. The apostles told them about their priority. Somebody say their priority. The apostles saw the problem, but they had other priorities to deal with. They couldn't leave and go serve tables. They couldn't leave and run the meals ministry. They couldn't leave and run the nursery. They couldn't leave and run the sound booth. They couldn't do that. Why? Because somehow that was beneath them? No, they had different priorities. What was the priorities of the apostles? The word of God. Personal study and corporate study of the word. What was the priorities of the apostles? Prayer. Personal and corporate. What was the priority of the leaders of the church? Family. You see? And we pull this out of the qualifications of the bishop, the pastorate. Because his family qualifies him for the ministry and keeps him qualified for the ministry. And so the prerequisite must be a priority, because without it, he could not be a leader. You know? And then came the body, which we call the church. The apostles, the leaders say, we have a problem in the church. But because of our priorities, we cannot adequately take care of the problem ourselves. And now we get to this third part of this series, where the apostles will give a solution. Somebody say a solution. Well, here we go. Hallelujah. We pick up in chapter 6, verse 3, and it's seven men, part 3. And we'll have, amen, as though it were, hallelujah, a few subpoints in this message. But let's begin. Let's just begin, amen. Acts 6, 3. Look at it. The Bible says, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. The Bible says, wherefore. In the newer translations, it correctly interprets this word as therefore. And Philly, anytime we read our Bible and we see a therefore, we have to find out what it is what? What it is there for. All right? And so we go back. We go back. Therefore means we have a problem. But we have priorities that we have, and we can't go and solve that problem. Therefore. And so, brethren, here's the solution. Look ye out among you. Seven men, honest report, full of the Holy Ghost, wisdom, that we may appoint over this business. Listen, the Bible here is about to give us the very first appointment of another office in the church. Oh, this is big. This is big. All right? We see the apostles. Amen. We know that there's pastors in the church, but there's going to be an appointment of another office, an office that is the Old Testament exclusive. It's not in the Old Testament. This is a New Testament office. You know what I'm saying? You can search the Old Testament. There's nothing in the Old Testament about this office. Amen. I'm talking about the office of the diakonos, which is the deacon's office. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. We're talking about the deacon. Within the church, there's only two offices. And we do all kind of other things, but there's only really two offices in the church. There are pastors and there are deacons. Everything else, really, we put other names on it, But they fall within those two categories, pastors and deacons. And from that group of pastors and deacons, the church is led. You understand what I'm saying? Now, let me just forget my notes for a second and give you some knowledge about this. The pastorate, amen, hallelujah, is the leadership arm of the church, primarily through doctrine and teaching. Anybody hear me up in here? The diakonos is the leadership arm of the church through service. It's the arm, it's actually the hand of the church. It is the arm of the leadership team. The pastorate, amen, says we got to get some things done. The diakonos say, I'm going to get it done for you. Anybody hear me up in here? Amen. It's the executive office. It's a to-do office. Amen. But don't get me wrong. Just because diakonos is the to-do office, it's not a small office. And the qualifications to get in that office, woo, is almost as stringent as this other office on this side. You understand what I'm saying? You know? And we're going to talk about it. We're going to talk about it. You know? Now, in no way am I putting the deacon on the same level of leadership as the pastorate. And some churches misunderstand that. You got the deacons telling the pastor what to do. You know? And that's confusion. You don't know how many pastors I know done left churches because of a deacon board. And you don't know how many stories in seminary I done heard of the pastor and the deacons out in the parking lot fighting. You understand what I'm saying? If there's a fight that involves the pastor and the deacons, we jumping somebody. It ain't us. It ain't us. Did I say that out loud? Listen. No. Because it's one accord. It's one body. You understand what I'm saying? And there's no question as far as leadership is concerned. You know what I'm saying? All right? You know? But they that arm of the deacon, of the leadership. All right? So we're talking about the diakonos. And in this text in chapter 6, most commentators and scholars believe that the seven men are the first deacons of the New Testament church. No, the word deacon is never mentioned here, hallelujah, in the English. But the verb is mentioned. You'll see the verb in the Greek, diakonos, is in the Greek here. You know what I'm saying? It's written all over this text. Hey, God. And so we'll talk a little bit about this. Listen, we'll have a few sub-points, hallelujah. And so you say, Pastor, what is this message about in regards to me? How does it apply to me? Number one, with this message, you're going to know what to look for in our deacons. Amen. When you look at them and see them, how they live and what they do, you will be able to say, all right, that's somebody that's really living the diakonos position. All right. And just like my office, amen, I am to be held accountable. The deacons ought to be held accountable as well. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. So, for you to know what a deacon looks like, help us. It helps us. Just like for you to know what a real pastor looks like, it helps me. Amen. Hallelujah. And so that's to hold the church accountable that our leaders, amen, are operating in the biblical qualifications and standards given to us by our Lord and Savior. You see, the people of God perish for a lack of knowledge. If you don't know what something looked like, you could never, hey, God, really follow it, amen, identify it. So we go to churches that don't know what a real deacon looked like. And the deacon's cutting up. You understand what I'm saying? And churches just take that because they had not studied to see what a real deacon is all about. Same thing with the pastor. But not at Philly. We're going to help you this morning. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Another reason is we have in this church men of God who will be deacons. They will be. And this message will give you something to strive for. All right? You'll be able to put it up on your refrigerator, amen. You'll be able to study it, amen. And be able to try to live your life, Hallelujah. With that in mind, I want to be a deacon in the church. All right? And you don't do it through conniving your way to do it. You do it through living the Bible. All right? When you live the Bible and you do it through the Bible, hey, God, listen, your gift, hallelujah, is going to make room for you. Your gift, hallelujah. Listen, we won't have no choice. If you have the qualifications, we won't have no choice but to put you where you belong. It ain't no acting like nothing and trying to get yourself attention. Nah. Nah. In fact, that's immaturity. That's going to put you lower. That's immaturity. You look at that and you say, that's pride. He ain't ready. You know, the diakonos. Here's the other thing. Say that you don't want to be a deacon. Here's another reason why this word is going to be, hallelujah, beneficial for us. When we vote again as a church for deacons, this knowledge is going to help you not pick the wrong person. All right? All right? So let's go at it. Let's go at it. We're going to break the text down. Verse 3, we're going to break it down and just kind of talk about the subpoints. And hallelujah, these subpoints are going to show us some important information about the diakonos. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. First subpoint A, among you. Somebody say among you. The Bible says that the apostles told the early church to look you out among you seven men. This literally means to solve this problem that we have, amen, with food allocation. Church, pick out from among yourselves seven men. This phrase among you is very important, saints. This tells us that a deacon, amen, must be selected, amen, from amongst the believers. Woo! Anybody hear me up in here? Peter says, wherefore, brethren, he's talking to the believers, brothers and sisters, choose from among yourselves, hallelujah, seven men. Hallelujah. A deacon must be chosen from a body of believers. They must be saved. They must be born again. You can't be a deacon for the church if you're not really part of the church. You can't be a deacon of Jesus Christ if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and as your Savior. Amen. You got to be one of the brethren. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. You have no idea how many deacons and how many churches really not saved. Anybody hear me up in here? All right. Listen, listen, listen. If you got apostles who were walking with Jesus, who was the son of perdition, and Judas, who wasn't saved, he was with Jesus. And Jesus didn't have a big church. He was 12 of them. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So if you're going to have a false brethren, hallelujah, an apostle in the 12, don't you think that they can have some false deacons in some churches? All right? All right? All right? So first off, if you have any doubt about somebody being saved, they cannot be a deacon. They have to know that they are sinners. You come here with a deacon thinking he perfect, that he ain't never sinned before, that should cross out his name from the list. My dog, you are not perfect. You are a sinner in need of a savior. Unless you understand that, you cannot be a diakonos. And we're going to get that. Amen. Here in a second, you got to realize that the wages of your sin is death. If you don't get forgiven, you're going to bust hell wide open with your deacon certificate. Amen. You're going to be amongst a bunch of deacons and pastors in hell. Amen. If you don't know Jesus, you being a deacon don't get you into heaven. All right. It's only Jesus that gets you in. And we got some people thinking that a church position is going to get them in. Listen to me, man. Judas didn't get in. He was an apostle. Judas did not get in. All right? You're going to have some people get up there to the judgment seat and say, Lord, Lord, did not we prophesy in thy name and do many wonderful works in thy name? And Jesus is going to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. I never knew you. You wasn't mine. You was in the church, selected for office, doing my work, but you wasn't saved. Let that not be so in Philly. Before we select anybody, we have to know that they are among us. They are believers, born again. Know that they're sinners. Know that the wages of their sin is death. They have to understand the cross of Jesus Christ. That he is the sacrifice for our sins. That he died so we could live. That he became sin who knew no sin, that we might become righteous. And that apart from his work on the cross, that we all would be most miserable saints. And on our way to Sheol, Hades, hell, the lake of fire, whatever you want to call it. We have to know that our own righteousness to God is like filthy rags. I would submit to you that there is nothing as dangerous as a person not saved getting into one of the higher offices of the church. That is a dangerous thing. Why is it dangerous? It is a danger to him. It's a danger to him because he's going to be working in the church, amen, hallelujah, like a job to merit, to earn something from God. No. We're not saved by work. You're not saved by works. You're saved by grace. Anybody hear me up in here? Through faith. And we got a lot of old church folk caught up in tradition working for heaven. And the harder you work from heaven, the further from heaven you get. I'm telling you, there's going to be some deacons watching over the TV, watching, listening over the radio. Listen, call on Jesus. Call on Jesus. You work in the church, the 20, 30 years you've done does absolutely nothing to get you into the gates of glory. Now, once you're saved, I'm going to show you how once you're in, your work's going to mean something then. You see? But you got to get in first. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. And to get in, you got to comprehend fully with your mind and with your heart the death, the burial, the resurrection of our Lord. Comprehend with your mind. I understand the cross. I understand the death, the burial, the resurrection. Hallelujah. But not only understanding with your mind, for with the heart men believe unto righteousness. Anybody hear me up in here? You could know it and not believe it. You could speak it and not really have received it. And that's why I go through it every Sunday. And that's why I'm never going to stop going through the old rugged cross. Because you'd be surprised how many people in here know it, but ain't really received it and believed it. Amen. So you're going to hear about it. 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 Tell it. They closed that casket on me. And when they close that casket on it, I pray that one of my sons will get up and preach it for me when I can't preach it. Anybody hear me? All right? All right? Listen, that's a dangerous thing, to have a leader in a church that's not saved. Because what you have is you have a traitor. You have somebody that actually worked for the other side. It's a double agent that's doing work. You know what I'm saying? A general, a leader of a platoon of God's people who really have an allegiance to the one we're fighting against. You see? And like Richard Baxter said, that person who really belonged to the enemy will not really do any damage to the enemy, but do damage, amen, to the place where he's serving. It's a dangerous thing. So the deacon must be chosen from among us, from among the believers. Pick someone from among you. And not just a profession of faith. But that profession has to have evidence. Because you got a lot of people that say they saved, but they live like they, hallelujah, on their way to hell. Talk like an angel, but live like the devil. You see, but Jesus said, by their fruits you would know. Faith without works is dead. Amen? So while, hey God, I want you to profess Christ and to know the gospel, amen, we also going to look at your life, and we're going to see it here in a second. That the deacon not only got to say the gospel, but live the gospel. You got to be born again. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. When he says among you, it gives me another revelation. That the deacon must not only be a believer, chosen from a body of believers, but also, amen, the deacon must be someone who is among the church. Meaning that it can't be a newbie, some Johnny come lately, somebody that just move in town and they come in church and they excite us in their first week here. And in their first month here, we automatically come in because of their nice clothes and because of their nice tie. Amen. We're going to come in and skip all kind of other people, John, that been here laboring and doing what they do. We're going to skip all of them and pull Mr. Rockefeller up and make him a deacon when he had not served in this body. He ain't never loved this body. He ain't never cried with the people of God. He ain't never visited no hospital. He ain't never worked in no ministry. No. Ain't nobody gonna come here new and fresh. Oh, well, I was this and that at my other church. Great. Go back to the other church. No. You gotta come in and labor amongst us. I gotta know that you love this people. Before I put you at the head of this people. Anybody heard? Hear me up in here. Ain't nothing worse than a leader that don't love the people that he got to serve. You see? So all that Johnny come lately, all that new people moving in, and I'm going to give my way to the top. No. That's not going to happen. All right? Not while I'm, amen, the senior elder of this church. That's not going to happen. Amen? Amen? That's not going to happen. No. Bye-bye. Oh, you caught it in the spirit. We're going to tell them bye-bye. Somebody waving bye-bye. Yeah, don't come here with that. It's got to be among the people. All right? And before we had a janitorial, amen, that cleaned the church, one pastor told me, he said, amen. He said, listen, he said, if they're not sweeping no floors, if they ain't cleaning no toilets, if they ain't, hallelujah, laboring in prayer with the people, cooking for nobody, ushering, showing them their seats, working somewhere, if they're not sweating for the people of God, don't even consider them as leader over the people of God. That's not going to happen. That was one of the greatest pieces of advice that we had gotten, because let me tell you something. Oh, let me move on. Because you can either learn this from the Bible or you can learn this through the school of hard knocks. And I've learned both ways. You see, you choose from among yourselves. After, now check this out. Who chooses the deacon? Peter said, wherefore, you choose. The church chooses. And it's a dual choosing. I'm going to show you in a second. It's the wisdom of God. Because it's the church and the apostles that take part in this. You'll see it. The church chooses. And that's why people that's fakers, they'll never be deacons. If you do it the biblical way. Because they're going to be mean to everybody in the church except pastor. They're going to be nice. Oh, pastor, let me see your shoes. And, oh, you got a stain right here. But they're stepping on everybody else's neck and stepping on their back and like, get out of my way. You know what I'm saying? Uh-uh. In the real biblical way, the church, look ye out from among yourselves. You know, and the church not going to pick nobody that's doing them wrong. Nobody that got a bad testimony. If you want to be a deacon, you got to live amongst the body a certain kind of way. You know, and then there is another aspect of the selection. Because God knows that you got some people who can bamboozle the multitudes. Hey!
Hey, you see the wisdom of God? So Peter said, you choose from among you, and then we going to appoint them. Hey, did you catch that? The church going to submit a list, but the elders going to look over the list to make sure that no wolves in sheep's clothing playing the people of God. And so it's a checks and balance. The church protect the leadership from people that's going to come in, hey, God, and oh, pastor, you're the greatest. Oh. Well, let's make him a deacon. The church saying, hold on. You don't know how he treated me when you're not there, pastor. Hey! All right? So that protect the pastor, but the pastor protect the people. Pastor, we got the list. We here. And we telling you, you don't really know what's going on in his life like I know what's going on in his life. This man might not even be a real convert. The wisdom, hey, and the counsel of Almighty God. If we did everything according to the word, saints, there would be no problems. Yeah. Come on, let's keep on going. Is this making sense to y'all? This making sense to y'all? Hallelujah. I got in my nose. This is good. Because sometimes the people of God can pick a plug, a chump, a buster. All right. Subpoint B for the diakonos. Honest report. Honest report. The Bible says in verse 3, wherefore, brethren, look ye out among yourselves, 7 men of what? Of honest report. Right? Pay close attention to how many deacons the early church had. 7. Right? Pastor, is that the magic number that all churches should have? No, not because of that. I'm saying this. The church in the book of Acts probably had at the least 8,000 to 10,000 members. And they only had 7 men. Isn't that something? You go to some churches and every man in the church is a deacon. This is deacon such and such, deacon such and such, deacon such and such. You know what I'm saying? And they do that for an ulterior purpose. You know, some people come in the church and if they're a smaller church, they're going to make you a deacon so you won't leave. So you can stay. So you can keep on tithing. So everybody is a deacon. They introducing you to kids. That's Deacon Eli right there. You, what's up, Deacon? You know? So we have to be careful. And I believe that God put this here so that the church would not be in a rush to make a whole bunch of deacons. All right? Because you could be a large church and just have a few of them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm going to show you in a second, later on in the scripture, how God actually gives us a mechanism to govern when we need a deacon. Oh, God. I'm going to show you that in a second. Because the church will feel it. The church will feel it. Just like it came up in here, there was a problem. Priorities couldn't match that problem. We needed some people to step up. Hey, that's a word. We needed some people to step up in places where leadership couldn't be. Hey, God. And the deacons were brought forth. Oh, wow. Hey, guys. 7 men. 7 men, it says, of honest report. Of honest report. You see? This honest report means of good reputation. That if anybody is going to be a deacon, they got to be well respected. Amen. They got to be well spoken of. It can't be a person, hallelujah, with a bad reputation, with some scandal attached to their name. Now, understand, before we get saved, we all got scandal, all right? But what I'm really referring to is that AD, after dominion, after you're saved. If you got scandal after you're saved, then you can't be a deacon, all right? Now, before you're saved, hey, we're all going to laugh about your testimony, all right? I was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Yeah. We could roll with that. But if after the conversion, you got a reputation for messing with people's wives, after the conversion, you got a reputation for stealing. You know, after the conversion, you got a reputation for trying to, hey, God, I don't know, I'm just pulling a pedophile. Hey, that's not going to work. You got to be a person, the Bible says, of honest report, a good report card after Christ. This is not too hard, no. Because remember, I'm going to show you here, the diaconos has to be the best of the best. The church is the best that God has in the world. Anybody hear me? We the light of the world. We the city on the hill. Amen. Well, within that church, you have some saints, hey God, who are at different levels. All right? Within that city, you got buildings within that city that shine brighter than other buildings. Hey, God. Anybody hear me up in here? All right? So, in order to pick church leadership, hey, God, you pick the best of the best, the brightest of the bright. You see? And that's what diaconos is supposed to be. You know? They got to stand out. You know? They can't stand down, lower than everybody else. They got to stand above everybody else. Did y'all get that revelation yet? In fact, the Bible describes the lifestyle of the deacon. All right? In 1 Timothy chapter 3, starting at about verse 8, we can look at it. And I'm going to try my best to move quickly. But there are four things in this description of a lifestyle that, hallelujah, this text is a certain about the diaconos. All right? Four things. All right? Number one, the deacon is to be a man of self-control. Somebody say self-control. Number two, a man of good doctrine. Somebody say good doctrine. Number three, a tested man, tried and true. Somebody say tested. And number four, it speaks about his home life. Right now, I done talked about pastors, amen, for how many years we've been here? We going on 10 years, and y'all all know the qualifications of a pastor, all right? Well, it's time to take the heat off of me. Let's talk about some deacons today, amen? Come on, Hill, Dele, let's talk about some deacons. Y'all been talking about me all this time, all right? And to our future deacons in here. And I guarantee you, as we talking about this, some faces going to come to your mind. Some men of God that's not deacons yet in here, they're going to come to your mind. All right? As I was doing this lesson, I was thinking about some up in here. You know? What a blessing. You know? What a blessing. You know? So let's look at this. The first thing in this text we see is self-control. In every area, look what it says. Likewise, must the deacons be grave. Amen? This means serious and respectful, all right? No, he ain't got to act like he live in a graveyard. No, he can have a sense of humor, all right? He could be funny, but there is a certain respect that the deacon going to carry, all right? When you're in his presence, hey, God, you know you're in the presence of somebody that's godly, and so usually you're going to watch the way you act when you're in the deacon presence because you're in the presence of church leadership. You're in the presence of a man that God has selected out of all the redeemed men in the church. God has selected him, picked him out, called him out of multitudes and said he's going to lead my bride, my church. You see? So there's a reverence that goes there. There's a respect that goes there. There's a godliness that goes there. And so that grave is a self-control in the way the deacon acts. He don't act any old kind of way. You know? Because there's a respect and a reverence that attaches itself to him. You see? The deacon must be grave. And look what it says, not double-tongued. And that's a picture of a snake tongue. Meaning talking out both sides of your mouth. The deacon has to have self-control with his mouth. He can't be no gossip. Oh, you heard what's happening here? And he can't be nice to you in your face and then talking about you behind your back. All right? Self-control in the way he act and self-control in the way he talk. If it's nothing good to say, the deacon ain't going to say nothing. See? Look what it say here. Not given to too much wine. You got to be self-controlled with alcohol. No substance abuse. No prescription medication abuse and all of that. No. Self-control. You see? No deacon's supposed to be stumbling in here. Takala. Sauced up. What? That's not a good example for the rest of the body. You're not the best of the best if you're acting like that. Right? He said, not greedy for filthy lucre. Self-control with money. Money don't run you. You run the money. You understand what I'm saying? It don't mean the deacon can't be blessed. All of our deacons in here got businesses. Don't y'all know that? You know what I'm saying? They wasn't selected because they had businesses. But all of our deacons got business. Meaning they know how to handle money. But money don't handle them. You understand what I'm saying? You can't be greedy as a deacon. You see what I'm saying? Hey, God, you possess the money. The money don't possess you. And most of the time, when you got somebody that's the best of the best amongst the body, you see, when the blessing of the Lord is on somebody, the blessing of the Lord make it rich. Oh, God. All of the people that serve God in the Bible, 110%, were people of substance, prosperity. You go back from Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Joshua, Hezekiah, Jehoshaphat, coming all the way down. The only one who didn't have it was Jesus. But he became poor that we might become rich. You understand what I'm saying? So why you got Hill, who I call Hill the Black Donald Trump, amen? And Hill is in real estate. Hill doing his thing. You know what I'm saying? You got Deacon Cordell in the Tag Investment Group. You got Brother Vinny, hallelujah, doing his electrician business. Amen. Hallelujah. Who else we got? We got Brother Brent with Integral Services. Amen. Hallelujah. So all the brothers know how to possess money, but the money don't possess them. Hey, God. It's a self-control with money. And the reason is because to serve the church, you can't be a hireling, dog. Because you're going to have to make some decisions. Well, you're going to have to choose between money and Messiah. Yeah, yeah. L'argent and your Lord. You know? Sometimes the deacons even take care and manage the finances of the church. And you can't have a Judas counting the money. Self-control. And the way they act, the way they speak, the alcohol, the substance abuse, the greed with the money. Can't love it too much. Secondly, good doctrine. Somebody say good doctrine. That's what it says in our text. Hallelujah. It tells us, amen, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And that means that the deacon got to have some good doctrine. That mystery of the faith, that means that the deacon must know the gospel. The mystery of the gospel. How a holy God can save a sinful people by sending his only begotten son to die on the cross. The deacon got to be so familiar with the gospel. Though you cut him in half, you could not cut the gospel out of him. Though he slay me, yet still will I trust. He can't be wavering like the sea, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Hey, God, his soul has to find a resting place. It's got to be anchored in the Lord is what I'm saying. I remember that deacon that we met in Monroe. Hallelujah, up there. Hallelujah. That brother there, he was an older fella, but I'm talking about his soul was sweet, sweet, sweet. He knew that gospel backwards and forwards. And he wanted to talk to me about the Hebrew doctrine. And I was really ready and willing to talk about the Hebrew doctrine. But one thing he held on tight to. And it's the same thing that I hold on tight to. And that's that old rugged cross. That's why false doctrine can't come in when you went with the Hebrew doctrine, bringing people back to the law and sacrificing animals. No, 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 no. When you're a true leader of the church, you hold on to the mystery of our faith. You not only hold on to it, but you can explain it if you got to. You not only hold on to it and able to explain it so you can win souls, amen. I'm going to show you that Philip and, hallelujah, Stephen, they was walking revivals, them boys. They knew the gospel backwards and forwards. They walk in the city and revival break out. The diaconos. Don't just think that them boys just scrape plates, no. We're going to see him. We're going to talk about him maybe next Sunday. Paul's was walking in the power of God, man. You see? They must know that gospel, hold on to the gospel, be able to preach and teach that gospel, but they must also live that gospel once again. Holding on to the mystery of the faith, but what? In a pure conscience. I'm doing the best I can with what I got. I don't know all of this, and I'm doing this on the side. Now, I got a pure conscience. You see? You see? Not only do they have to have self-control and, hallelujah, have to know that word, that good doctrine, they have to be tested. Somebody say tested. The deacon got to be tried and true. Tried and true. All right? Look what it says. And let these also first be proved. And let them use the offices of a deacon being found blameless. And what we do at Philadelphia, we have an observation period. Somebody say observation. Where after the voting and the appointing, amen, by the church and leadership, amen, we normally give about what, church? 6 months? And usually go longer than that. Hallelujah. I think the last one went about a year, amen. But we give 6 months, 8 months, maybe a year to watch them. And I give the church an edict, a decree, a mandate. If you see them doing anything, if you hear them doing anything, if you feel them doing anything, I felt something, Pastor, I felt something. Come and talk to me about it. Why? Because we don't want no hirelings in church office. So we do approving by observation. Other churches do approving by examination. All right? Somebody say examination. You know, we might do that one day. I done seen them where they pull them up, Malvo, in front of church. And they ask some questions about the gospel and about the faith. Do you really know it? Do you know it? Do you know, hey, God, he the propitiation? Do you know that he the atonement? Do you know, hey, God, what does death, burial, and resurrection mean? And can you speak it in those terms? You see? There's an observation. Some churches do an examination. And we may do that. Might not be in front of everybody, but maybe. And then there is a probation. Some churches do a probation. But make you a deacon, you know what I'm saying, but you're on probation, just like in court of law. 10 years suspended sentence, 5 year probation. I'm joking. But home arrest, all that. Listen, they'll put you on probation, and so they'll make you a deacon, but you got about a year to prove yourself. You know? Observation, examination, probation, tried and true. Let these first be proved, tested. You see? Let's keep on going. Y'all still up out there? The diaconos has to have a stellar home life as well. All right? I'm so happy I'm not talking about me up in here today. The diaconos. Look what it says. Even so, in verse 11, must their wives be grave. Not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. They talk about the home life of diaconos. Why? Because the home life and the church life can't be too different. Can't be too different. I understand there's going to be a little difference, you know, but it can't be too different, you know. And the wife going to know that. And if you watch the wife close, you're going to know the man. The wife is the mirror of the man. Me and my wife say this all the time when we look at couples and how God put them together. We always say that God usually put people together that's meat. They're really equal, you know. And I know a lot of y'all think that y'all better than y'all spouse, but I got a news flash for you. Y'all, most of the time, y'all really equal, all right? You say, Pastor, but he got all this stuff wrong with him. But you got all this stuff wrong with you, all right? And while his stuff might not be your stuff, y'all both have some stuff. So I always trip out about a man that's going to talk so bad about his wife. And I'm looking at him like, what are you thinking? Like, you don't see yourself. Right? So when they talk about his home life, the first place it starts is they say, his wife. His wife. Just look at his wife. When you go to vote for him, don't just vote on him. Look at his wife. And let me tell you something. That is so true. Now listen. You're going to have some extreme situations where somebody going to marry a neighbor, meaning that they are unequally yoked, or, you know, it's obviously true that Abigail is better than who she married. But that's the exception. No, yeah, yeah. Who you married most of the time is me. You know? It's me. His wife, right? The wife will reflect the man. You see? And just like the pastor, the wife will qualify the man or disqualify the man. Look what it says. The wife got to operate a certain way. Right? Hallelujah. Now, either you're praising God up in here for your wife, or you're saying, well, that go my chances. I tell you after service, too. I'll let you know. Listen, it say, even so must their wives be grave. That same respect and reverence has got to be on that woman of God too. Because the man can be like respectable and the presence of God walk in when he walk in, and then that homegirl walk in there and nobody, they curse in front of her, they do anything in front of her. Why? Because they don't reverence her. You see, when they're going to act up in your presence and not act up in his presence, it means that they see something on him that they don't see on you. And they feel comfortable exposing themselves to you because you don't have that level of godliness on you. You got to strive, amen, to be a walking reflection of Jesus. And woman of God, just don't let your man be that. Just don't say that's good for him. No. Listen. The way this thing work, amen, the husband and the wife, y'all got to strive to catch each other in Christ. Y'all got to strive to chase each other, all right? He ain't going to be way up here and I'm way down here. And she ain't going to be getting all kind of revelation. I ain't getting no revelation because I wake up and be like, Lord, you told her, why you ain't told me that? I want to know too. I want revelation. Like she the only one pray up in here. I want to know something too. And so me and my wife, you know what I'm saying? That's how we living. That's how we coming. I'm not trying to, amen, allow her to pass me up. It's like two horses pulling a chariot. And the chariot we pulling is Grace and Leith and Omar in our house. But she ain't going to be the one way up here and I'm back here running on three legs. Pull it, girl, pull it. Oh, no. We up in there, you know what I'm saying? He'll saw partie and I'm... All right? We up in there, and I'm trying to win. You know what I'm saying? All right? Let's get back. Let's give y'all cutting up in a minute. So let your wives, he said, be grave, the same level of respect and self-control and activity. Look at it is. Not slanders, the same self-control with her mouth. Because you're going to have the deacon, amen. He ain't, I'm talking about loose lips, sink ships. He ain't saying nothing to nobody. But it don't matter if he keep his mouth closed. Because every time he go home, he tell her, and she telling everybody. And it would disqualify him. Oh, yeah, he look, he tight. He squeak when he walk. He ain't letting nothing out. But if he talk in his sleep, it's over. All right? So she have to be not a slanderer. You see? She got to be sober, too. You know? Not under that alcohol. Not under them drugs. Not under the prescription medication. She got to be that way. I'm feeling a revelation coming upon the women of God right now. I'm feeling a call to a higher height. If you want your man to be something in the body, hey, God, you got to act a certain way. All right? And for our singles in here, if you believe God is calling you to that man of God that you believe in for, well, baby, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. You got to get ready, sister. You got to get ready. You got to listen now. It's a high mark you got to roll with now. You come up here marry that man of God, you're going to be running with the horses. You see? Yeah. Bible say faithful, you know, trustworthy in her marriage, faithful in her responsibilities and the things you give her to do, faithful, handle her business. That's a woman of God, man. When I can give that to you and I don't have to worry about that no more, I can just give that to you. Look, take care of that. Not to come home and ask you what happened, you know. We need the church light bill paid. You know? We can't come here Sunday and be in the dark. Faithful. That's the diaconos wife. That's the church leader's wife. Faithful. Look, you can count on me. And I'm going to be faithful in my marriage. And when you and it also in that Greek word is discreet. When you tell me something, I'm going to faithfully keep that. Because the deacons, they're going to know things about the church, about the runnings of it, about the people in it. You know, there's a faithfulness that must be on him and on his family. You see, I done been in situations, amen, when we done had some good brother saints. Brothers that, hallelujah, was not only deacons, but very well pastors. Amen. And they married, amen, to a wife that wasn't too. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. And don't you know that wife disqualifies that man for that office. Not only disqualifies him, but ruins it. You know how many good men we done had in church that leave over a foolish woman? Did I say that out loud? I did. Woman of God, you don't know the power you have over that man. That man could be happy with his pastor, happy with his church, happy with every single thing. You get in that man's life and start dripping like a leaky faucet in that man, and you on that man. And that man, he know it ain't right, but you just weigh him down. And he it's like CIA interrogation. It's and he just down, and he come up brainwashed. Yeah, pastor, you did that. And brainwash that man. And guess what happened? I got to let that man go. Bye-bye. You know what I'm saying? Why? Because he go home with that woman. I see that man once, 3 times a week. And every time I see him, I pull him out the cloud of despondency. But then he go home and she cook him something good. And she start whispering again. So I learned to wave them bye-bye. If you're single, pick a good one. If you're married, help her, Lord. Sanctify her with the truth. Wash her with the word. Help her. Raise her up. Give her what you have. Just don't leave the house and minister to everybody else and don't minister to her.
minister to her. The gift that's in you should be seen first at home. All right, I got a word. If you're married to a bad one, and she cheat on you, you know, you got to wave her bye-bye. I bring that up because I done seen some good men of God where God give them the way of escape. That Jezebel go out and cut up. The very thing that keep him disqualified for being who he is. She go out, she cut up. He been praying, Lord, I need help. Help me with this man, God. And get out of there. She go and she cut up. All right? And that's his way of escape. And he got to say, what you, how the song go? So long, bye-bye. Somebody wave a bye-bye. You know? You don't stay with that. Now, I'll never give you that advice one-on-one. Minister, you know, we done been through that. It's very hard to tell a man to leave his wife. So, I'll never give you that advice one-on-one. So, I'm telling you now. But that's only in the case if you got one that's, you know what I'm saying? That's a bad one I'm talking about. I'm not talking about, you know what I'm saying, y'all working through some things. And you know what? I'm not talking about that. You know? Ball cut up, huh? I'm keeping it real? Hey. All right. Look, we got to move on, y'all. All right. So it say here also about the deacon, his family life. It say you got to be a one-woman man. Look what it say. It say let the deacon be the husband of one wife. Not two wives. Not three wives. Not a boy on the side of baby mom and baby dad. And baby. One wife. All right. Now let me share something with you about this. A lot of traditional churches misinterpret that. They misinterpret that. I'm going to tell you how they misinterpret that. They got a good man of God that done been through some trouble in his relationship. He was married to somebody that wasn't all that. She went out and doing all kind of stuff. You see what I'm saying? He divorced her now. You see? And, you know, he might remarry or whatever like that. They say he not qualified for be pastor or deacon or nothing. How can somebody cheat on him? And he been doing what he got to do. How can somebody messing him over when he just as surprised as all us? How could that disqualify him from the pastor? That's not what that scripture say to me. That scripture said a husband and one wife, meaning that he in a monogamous relationship, not polygamous, monogamous relationship where he is faithful where he at. That's what that mean to me. You understand what I'm saying? That's them traditional church. All right? I could talk to you about, you know what I'm saying? You know? But let's just keep the Bible the way the Bible's supposed to go. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife. And then it say, ruling his children well. In their own house as well. That's that manager position. Well, you got to manage that family well as a deacon. You can't come here and manage the church if you don't know how to manage your own family. All right? So you gotta really, really, really keep an eye on that stuff. You know? Bye-bye. All right, let's keep on going. C. Y'all still up out there? All right.
Full of the Holy Ghost. Full of the Holy Ghost. A diakonos has to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What you mean by that, Pastor? I mean that he has to be under the control and the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The diakonos got to be a person that is under the control of the Spirit. That means that they walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. When you see them, amen, you see the fruit of the Spirit when you see them. You see? When you're in their presence, you feel Galatians 5:22. You feel the love. You feel the joy. I got that scripture up there, Sambut. You feel the peace. If you're in a person's presence and you're not feeling that love, that joy, that peace, then they're not filled with the Spirit. And listen, that's not diakonos material. Love, joy, peace. They got to be patient people, gentle people, goodness, faith, hallelujah, meekness, temperance. That's that self-control. Against such there is no law. You know? We didn't put it up there, but I know you know it. All right? That's how they live it. But the diakonos is not only under the control of the Spirit, but empowered by the Holy Ghost. You want to be in the presence of someone that when, hallelujah, when you're in their presence, you're going to hear, see, or feel the power of God when you're in their presence. That's the diakonos. Some kind of way. Hallelujah. Either you're going to hear God through their word. Either, hey, you're going to see God through the extraordinary things that they can get accomplished when they put their hands to something. It's like Samson's strength when the diakonos get to working on something. He could take something that's dead. You understand what I'm saying? Get in it, hallelujah, and it just come alive. Huh, Deacon Hill? Hey, God, take that ministry and just look. Hey, God, that's the diakonos, baby. That's the Holy Ghost. That's power. You see what I'm saying? So when you're looking for a diakonos, you want somebody that's not taking something and it die in his hand. It wither. No. It flourish, baby. It flourish. Because the apostles can't put nobody in charge of something that they can't watch that's going to kill it. You know, that's the type of manager the diakonos is. That's the type of servant he is. That he is a vessel by which God, hey God, can fill him and operate through him. He is the glove of God. And the hand of God goes in the diakonos and put his hand on things. You know, full of the Holy Ghost power. You see? Not only full of the Holy Spirit, but wisdom. Hallelujah. What's wisdom? The proper application of knowledge. What kind of wisdom? Worldly wisdom? No. Godly wisdom. You talk to them about your problems. You talk to them about your finances. You talk to them about some things. The diakonos. You see? Here's the last one. Then we're going to go. I know y'all tired, but wait up. This is good for some of y'all, man. I'm trying to prophesy on some of y'all. Some of y'all deacons in here. Or deacons' wives. You know? Look at sub-point D. A point over this business. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men. We covered that. Honest report, we covered that. Full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. We covered that. Whom we may appoint over this business. This is important. This business. Here's the last thing. The deacons were appointed over a particular business. Meaning that you just don't make somebody a deacon if they don't have a business to take care of. The need gives breed to the office. Sometimes they make a deacon for nothing. No. We got to have something for you to do. Seven men that we may appoint over this business. Anytime you see a deacon, a real deacon, you're going to see them appointed over some business, some ministry, something. And I think our deacons, I think of Deli Dell. Caudell Keith Thibodeau. I did that just the best way to get. Listen. Listen. What's his business?
Security.
Take care of the house. That's important business. All right? That's his business. He got a business that he appointed to. He do a good job. I can show y'all some film. He do a good job. Right? And everybody growing, you know, we're going to grow in our business. Look what he said. Listen, Brother Vinny. Ravini Duga. Y'all knew his name, Russ Ravini? Ravini Duga. Yeah. What's his business? Well, he back there. He making sure you're hearing what you're hearing. The sound and everything, the speakers and everything. You should see him up on the lift during the week sometimes. That's his business. And he's serving it. You know? Who's the other deacon? Brother Brent. All right. Well, if Deli handles security and Vinny handles sound, what does Brother Brent do? Everything else. Everything else. I'm texting Brent late at night. You telling me when I don't have my scripture right? Wait up, Brent. I know that's John 3:16. Don't you come and tell me. Brother on vacation and I'm texting him my sermons. He in the computer sitting somewhere in Jamaica, somewhere in Tennessee. I got that pastor. I got it. Appointed over some business. All right? The Honorable Richard Hill. You know what I'm saying? You know? Appointed. Over a business. That Titus ministry. You know what I'm saying? Did y'all see him up there with their shirts on? And we honor our deacons. We love our deacons, man. We praise God for our deacons, man. Come on, give God some glory for our deacons. Come on. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet and give God glory for our deacons. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. They over a business in the church. All right, y'all can be seen. Y'all can be seen. Now, let me tell you something else. You want to be a deacon? Follow these qualifications and get yourself some business. Find something to do in this church. And do it well. Do it well. You do it with all your heart. Week in, week out, you're there. I ain't got to talk to you. I ain't got to call you. Amen. You don't even need me to pat you on the back. You just doing it. And you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for the glory of God. Because whether I see or not, you there. Hey, whether I show up or not, you there. Whether I can't make it and the minister got to go for me or one of the deacons, you are there. All right? And I don't have to put my hands on the ministry because I know when you there, I'm there. I. What you saying? Put your hands on something. Put your hands on something. And work at it. And work at it so well that you're indispensable to it. Well, we say, where would we be if he wasn't doing this? Or we'd say, did you see how it looked before he put his hands on it? Or we say that it didn't exist before he came here and took it. Let the Lord give you something, man. We need you, man. We need you, man of God. We need you. And they got something here that's already doing it. You don't have the title yet, but listen. You're on the radar. And you're being watched. You're under observation right now. You know? And your day gonna come. So help us, God. You see? Your day gonna come. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. The diaconos. The deacons of the church. Listen, saints, we got to get out of here. But this last scripture, let me just one more scripture before y'all wave me bye-bye. In 1 Timothy, look what it says. The last scripture here, I don't know which verse it is. Yeah! Boy, I love that deacon over there. Boy, that guy. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, they purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. The office of a deacon carries with it not only the prestige of leadership in the church on this side of heaven, but commentators all agree that this text is telling us that there is also going to be prestige and blessing and honor on the other side as well. As they labor and work, God, helping the pastor stay in the word, stay in prayer, doing things that he need to do but can't do because of his other priorities. Hey, God, as they do their work, they're providing for freedom for the man of God to come and get souls saved and preach that gospel and do what he got to do. And so the Bible says God looks at that. And through their work, hey, God, they don't get into heaven through their work, but they already in. And as they work and being already saved, they are storing up treasure in heaven. That work is exchanged for jewels and gold and crowns. They are purchasing for themselves a good degree. And that good degree in the Greek means a high place in the kingdom. In the kingdom. The diaconos position, with it, eternal rewards and placement in the kingdom of the living God when he returns. You see? That's the importance of the office. That's the original seven. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Father, we thank you that there's promotion in the kingdom. We thank you, Daddy, that we labor. And our labor is not in vain. I thank you, God, for all the pastors in this body. I thank you for all the deacons in this body. I thank you for all the deacon wives in this body, the pastors' wives in this body, God. I thank you, Father. And Father, I pray you use this word, God, to shape them and to mold them to be the very thing you have called them to be from birth, God. Father, I know there are some who may be new here and would say, I would like to be a deacon. But they don't know you yet as Lord. We pray today, God, that a future deacon would make today the day that he surrenders to you, Daddy. That at this altar this morning, Daddy, would come to be born again. A jewel, a diamond in your crown, Daddy. To be saved through the precious blood of the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. They would come admitting, believing, and confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord. I also want to pray for the men in the church who are already saved, who find themselves in a place of stagnation, a place of barrenness and no growth. Tired of the mundane and thinking that they've reached the optimal level that they could reach. Daddy, tell them that the devil is a liar tonight, Daddy. Tell them that the devil is a liar this morning. And show them that you got a wide place for them. Show them that there's still time for them to be appointed, anointed, ordained. Even some who've messed up, God. Show them, Daddy, that Samson's hair grows back. And Daddy, I want to pray for them wives as well, Daddy. Who, hey, God, could be the backbone of that man. Who can help you shape that man into what he needs to be. Daddy, please. Help that woman of God know, woo, the power of her words. That she could speak life into that man. She can speak him into an office. Or speak him into the ground. Father, bless us as we call your church to the altar. Saints, I'm going to open up the altar. If you're here and you want to be assured of your salvation, come. If you're here and you want God to mold you and to promote you in his body, but hey, there's some things that he got to do with you, come. If you're a woman of God and hey, you want, hallelujah, to be a help to your husband and not a hindrance to that husband, hey, come. Hey, God, you a believer, hey, God, but you need to ask God to, hallelujah, restore you some things, come. Listen, the altar is now open. Don't hold back. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. You know if you heard the voice of God. Just come. You know if God told you that you was called. Just come. Got some people sleeping on a calling. Sleeping on a calling. Sleeping on a calling, man. It's time to get to work. I don't need boys in here, no. I need men. I need men. I need men. I need men. God, I beg of you right now, Daddy, please. Send me pastors, Daddy. Send me deacons, Daddy. Father, the harvest is so plentiful, but the laborers are few. I can't do it by myself, Daddy. I can't do it by myself, Daddy. There's a people that need to be awakened. And I can't do it by myself. Daddy, send the men. Send the men. And get them ready. Get them ready to take their eyes off themselves and look on the fields. For the fields are white with harvest. They ready. They ready. Man of God, can you get ready? Because the fields are ready. Can you get ready? Say with me now. Say, God, our Father, Yahweh. Come to you, thanking you for loving us and wanting to use us. We repent and admit all of our sins, and we are sorry. But we know that you died for us on Calvary's hill. You were buried in the grave. And on the third day you rose. I believe you, Lord. Your death, burial, and resurrection. Now, Lord, save me, a sinner, and use me in my house. And use me in your house. Take me there, Daddy. Raise me up as high as you want me to be. Put some wings on my back. And put some wind under my wings. I'm ready to fly. Come on, lift up your hands with me. Woman of God, I want you to repeat after me. Woman of God, say, I will be a help to my husband. I will speak life. I will support him. I will bless him and pray for him. I will be there for him. Help me to build him up and not tear him down. Help me to encourage him and not discourage him. When I tell him the truth, put love in my mouth. Give me wisdom, Daddy, to know how to help your son. Woman of God, you could put your hands down. Man of God, repeat after me. I will be the champion of my home. The priest of my home. Jesus in my home. I am the man of God. I'm not a boy. And I'm ready, Daddy. For responsibility. I'm ready, Daddy. For commitment. I will give my all to you. And I will serve your house with all of my strength. I'm sorry for my mistakes. But I know you can still use me. Raise me up as high as you want me to go. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some glory, saints. Hey! Hey, God! I'm in need, saints. Can't do it by myself. We need.